My name is Carletta. I am a compulsive eater.
Hi, Carletta.
Hi. And it looks like we're going to be a small, intimate group. So I am from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I have been in CHEL since 2002. I've been instructed that this is going to be recorded. So whenever anyone speaks up, we're going to have the microphone for that. And I'm also going to pass out this release form for everyone to sign, indicating you don't mind your voice being recorded. So what's going around is you should get two pieces of paper. Is there anyone who doesn't have both of those pieces of paper at the moment? Okay. So, you know, what I love, many things I love about being part of our fellowship, but one of the ones that I love the most is being one among many. And I had the opportunity this morning to go to many lovely, wonderful workshops. And later I'll get to go to others. And right now it's my turn to sit in this chair and offer one. And that's it. We just share what we have. And I happen to have developed a real passion for the sixth step. And so I was asked if I would give a little bit of presentation about my passion for the sixth step. And in the 12 and 12, the first line just sort of grabbed me. It's that line that says, this is the step that separates the men from the boys. And if I use gender-neutral language, I say this is the step that separates the children from the adults. And this is the step that says, we have been behaving in some immature ways, and now is the opportunity to decide if we want to grow up. I love that about our program. Nothing's ever forced on us, right? We get to decide if we want to grow up. So becoming entirely ready to have higher power remove these defects of character. And so what I passed out in one of the forums is a summary of what I found in the first part of the sixth step. And I call this the convincing part. And this is the part that says, well, you know, after we do that fourth and fifth step, we look at those defects of characters and we say, well, of course I don't want any defects of characters, right? But this part says, well, is that really true? Because if some of these aren't at the extreme, the word used in the 12 and 12 is we exalt them. And that words mean we really love them. It's not just that we like them. We get euphoric and ecstatic about them. We really love them. So if you look at the sheet that you have that has the step six character defects from the 12 and 12, and if you go to the very last row, you'll see when our defects aren't so glaring under eating and living, the 12 and 12 listed taking comfort in food. Yeah, that's not so glaring. And some of us thought, wow, it's no big deal. I can take comfort in food. And also was listed there for living is delay or sloth until retirement. That's not so bad. I work really, really hard, and then when I retire, I won't work at all. So what's in our 12 and 12 are these other three categories, reproduction and sex, security, safety, social relations, place in society. So let's go to the place in society, social relations, and look what's listed as some of those less extreme or less glaring defects of character. We see feeling superior to our fellows. Well, a lot of us like feeling better. Yeah, sometimes we call that gossip because it's a way that we just get to feel a little bit better. And on that list is also enjoyment of self-righteous anger. I'm right, you're wrong. Oh, what a blast that can be sometimes, right? Or anger prompting gossip as satisfactions, or the envy payoff, wish for what we don't have instead of working for it and accepting attributes we'll never have. So those fall under the category of less glaring. And under the category of more glaring or destructive for eating is health-ruining gluttony. That's eating so much that it ruins our health. Now, that's where I fell. That's what made me a member of Compulsive Eater Anonymous, because I ate so much, I was damaging my health. And I didn't care, because I was using eating to take care of my life problems, to take the edge off, to numb me out a little bit, to make it a little less painful for all those problems I had in living, the people, places, and things. I'm gonna, you know, that thing that they talk about is being angry at somebody, but we're drinking the poison, right? I'm so mad at you, I'm gonna go home and eat. That kind of, and our program tells us unequivocally, that is not sane thinking. We get that from the first step. That is not sane thinking. That's twisted thinking. So by the time we get to this point in our program, we are understanding that we have some thinking that falls outside of the category of sane. And by the time we get to this point in the program, we're asked, so do you want to do the work that's going to take you to sane and healthy thinking? Do you want to do the work and all the rest of the steps that's going to take you to the 12th step that promises a spiritual awakening, that promises a shift in attitude and perception so that we don't need those escape strategies that we developed before we had the skills? All those other steps gives us the skill set so we can live well life on life's terms. So what I love is this step gives us that pause. And I know for me, I didn't have a stop button when it came to food, right? I get to food, and then you're supposed to stop at some point because you're not hungry anymore. Hunger had nothing to do with it. So I didn't have a stop button. How many people in the room did not have a stop button? Yeah, it looks like I'm in good company. All right? Everyone's hand went up, and that was my ticket to get here to Compulsive Eaters Anonymous. That was my ticket that said, you know, something's really off balance here. And I thought I just need a little tweaking, a little self-knowledge, and I'd be good to go. It didn't turn out to be the case, but I did really accept that I didn't have a stop button. So for me, step six is also the pause button. I turned out I needed to learn how to develop a pause button. So it seems just so inevitable that after you get that list of character defects, we want to let them go. But step six, as I just said, says, yeah, that's not so true, because we get really excellent payoffs from all those character defects. We wouldn't do them if we didn't have some payoff. And so getting entirely ready is a process. And I love that our program acknowledges my humanness and says that I'm wired with all my habits and repetition that I'm going to need a process to get ready. So what I'm offering today is a look at a kind of process for the sixth step. And that's what the second piece of paper is. So everyone should have a second sheet of paper, and it's divided into four quarters, and each quarter has a label. So the first one says benefits of whatever I want eating. So the only character defect we're going to work on together collectively with the sixth step is compulsive eating, because that's what we have in common. So the benefits of whatever I want eating. The next one says the benefit of see how eating. The lower ones have the drawbacks of whatever I want eating and the drawbacks of see how eating. So what I'm going to have us do, this, we're going to be interactive. But to start off with, I want you to just fill in the very first one, all the ones that you can think of. And there are some pens back there if you need a pen. There's some hard surfaces back there if you need that. But for you personally, please write down the benefits of whatever I want way of eating. And I'm going to give about a minute for that. All right, so if we can come back together, what I'm going to do is, as I hear answers, I'm going to write them down, and I'm going to keep a tally. So I'm going to just have you, somebody raise your hand and tell me what one item wound up on your list. Say your name first, please.
Hi, I'm Stacy. And I wrote, when I'm eating what I want, I'm in my own bubble and isolation, protection.
Did everybody hear that? Protection. I get to feel a moan bubble, and I'm protecting myself.
Yeah. Hi, Carla. Hi, everybody. I'm Ed. I'm a compulsive eater. And the one I put was the sometimes wonderful smells and tastes that I just got to have. Movie theater.
Mm. Did everybody hear that? The taste, the smells, the associations with places and events. Yes.
Hi, I'm Leslie. I wrote, feels comforting.
There's a reason they're called comfort foods, right? Yeah. Okay. Yes?
I experience what it's like to be normal.
I get to join the crowd. This is what everybody does. I blend in. I belong. Yeah. Who else would like to shout one out? Yeah.
Less meal prep. And with less dishes associated with meal prep.
So there's another reason it's called fast food, right? Because we can get it fast. Excellent, excellent. Okay, so now we're going to move to the next column. And for everybody who came in, there should be sheets of paper back there and pens. We're now going to start filling in the column of the benefits of eating the See How way. All right, so just like we did before, if we can have a few say out loud what they wrote on their list. I'll start more in the back of the room this time and come sort of forward. Anybody want to share what was on their list?
And one of the benefits for me is today I'm able to go to sleep without the promise that tomorrow I'll do better.
Peace of mind. Anybody else want to share one on their list?
Freedom from self-hatred and self-condemnation, because I have a food plan that helps me instead of eating at my problems.
Yeah, great. Without regret.
When I eat a lot of salad at buffet restaurants and people are like, oh my gosh, you eat so much, I can be like, yeah, isn't it awesome?
Eating out loud and proud.
not having to take diabetes medications.
Yeah. A whole slew of health benefits, yes.
I'm out of the food and I'm into living life.
Yeah. Yep, the solution.
I'm never alone again, ever.
Beautiful. Yes?
When I was eating, to stuff my feelings. So once I started having my feelings and seeing that I wanted things that I wasn't getting, I could ask for those things. And what do you know? I actually got it a lot.
What a concept. More will be revealed. And we can ask for help.
I can sleep without anti, thank you, yeah, what is it?
Antacid.
Yeah, that's what I, yep, that's it.
Without
antacids.
Sleep without antacids, good one. All right, any burning?
Go ahead.
Having sanity and clarity to face whatever comes my way.
I'm in control.
It's weighed and measured, and there you go. We have my broken stop button. It doesn't have to work because it's weighed and measured. All right, so one of the things in terms of looking at becoming entirely ready is that whole process, right? So the first column we looked at, what are the benefits of eating however I want to eat? And there are a number of benefits. Otherwise, we wouldn't have done it. And then we look at the See How way of eating, and there are tremendous benefits there, too. Some of them are just hidden. We can't even conceive of them when we start the journey, right? But we still have to go from giving up the ones that are the payoff and hanging in there long enough to get the new ones, right? And how many people do we know who leave before the miracle happens, right? It's a process. It's a journey. It's a process. And what I love about See How is we get, I heard somebody say, I'm not alone, because we get support all along the way, every one of those steps. And we get a lot of love in the process, because when I, just this morning, somebody said something to me, and I said, oh, yeah, I've done that, right? Because we're all in this together. We know what it's like. And when somebody says, oh, I'm having a hard time, I'm thinking about such and such, I blah, 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 we go, yeah, I know what that's like. Says, oh, my God, I had a food dream last night. Yep, yeah, I know what that's like, right? So we're on this journey together of making that change from the payoff of having it one way, deeply ingrained. That's what the sixth step tells me. It tells me these are instincts out of balance. It tells me I have a natural instinct to eat. I have to eat to live. But I get into trouble when I use my natural instinct to make me feel less lonely, to make me feel less angry, to make me feel less sad. Then it's an instinct out of balance. And that's when I get in trouble. So all the rest of the steps are teaching me skills so that I can be present and I can allow that instinct to be the God-given instinct that it is and not try to force-fit it to do other things. Right? So yes, we have benefits that we have learned, worked for us over the years, and we have to be present and supported enough so that we will close the door on those escape hatches, because that's what they are, right? When I'm eating too much, I'm trying to escape something. And if I'm not willing to close the door on that escape hatch, I'm not going to keep my abstinence. Because one of those days, I'm going to say, oh, this is too much. Wham! I'm going to pick it up again. But I'm in a program that says you're going to get a lot of support, and you can close the door on the escape hatch, and you can stay present until you're getting the benefits of eating the Siha way. All right, let's go down and to the first column and go ahead and write a couple things. So who would like to share some items from the list, one item from the list, and we'll go around again?
The drawbacks of whatever I want eating. I'm forced to face my reality by clothes not fitting, and I can't escape it.
Clothes not fitting. Buying new clothes. Who went through that buying new clothes and expanding the wardrobe and five sizes in the closet because you never knew?
I'm Susan. We're reading the drawbacks, right? It doesn't stop. My urges don't stop. Because I said it tastes good. That was the benefits of whatever I want eating, and I don't have to feel, and the drawbacks where it doesn't stop, and the feelings won't end.
Turns out it doesn't work anyway, except for that short little period of time.
I'm not present for my husband or my kids or for my work, because once I pick up, I am just obsessed with getting the next bite, and I don't care about anybody else.
Who can identify with being mentally absorbed? It's all about the food, right? Yeah.
Hi, I'm Linda, compulsive eater. Drawbacks of whatever I want eating. The drawbacks is how it affects my health. And I think about the benefits that I've received from being in program, and I'm no longer a diabetic, and I no longer need blood pressure medicine, and I no longer need cholesterol medicine, and I don't need sleeping pills so I could sleep again. So the drawbacks when I'm into the food is I'm afraid that I'm going to be a diabetic again, and I'm going to afraid that my blood pressure is going to pop up, and I'm going to need those damn pills again. And cholesterol is a big, huge thing. I was always in denial about that, and it makes a big difference, because the drawback of being in the food is, we were talking about isolation. Because you don't want anybody to judge you, because you made this decision that you're going to eat. And now that you're eating, you don't want anybody to judge you. You've made this decision, you should be able to do what you want, you're a big person. But there's so many more benefits to not have to feel all that anymore and be part of the program and be part of the fellowship and be part of the fellow CEA Howians.
Yeah, so many health drawbacks, right? We probably know or have our own experience with so many health destroying ways. You know, our disease is a killer. It can be a very slow killer. So it doesn't get our attention as much sometimes because of that, but we do know our disease is a killer. And thank you for your share, including the share about really reinforcing the secrecy, right? Going into hiding, not being our full true selves because we're hiding ourselves away.
Pamela, compulsive eater. One of the big drawbacks is how much of my life I missed out on because of eating. There would be times where my husband and I had a social event, and I would not want to go, and so I would be really nasty and say, you have to go alone. And I didn't want to go for two reasons. I didn't want to go because I was so fat, I couldn't stand to go out and have anybody see me. And I also didn't want to go because I thought if he went and I stayed home, I could just binge and binge and binge and binge. So missing out on my life in order to stay home and binge, and I did that a lot, you know, I missed out on a lot of my life, and that's something you can't get back.
How many can relate to carving up your life so you got time to bench? Mm-hmm. Definitely. Any other? Yep.
My name's Nance. I don't mean to double dip if we are. But financial insecurity, I spent $275 on sugar in 1 month. And, you know, I was pissed. And no more hangovers, just like I had, you know, ruined the whole next day. Thanks.
That's right. Thank you. It can be very expensive, and yep, just like other things, there are food hangovers.
Feeling embarrassed. Embarrassing your family.
How many of us had to live through the shame factor? Yeah.
Once I've taken that first compulsive bite, it's easy to give up and just say, you know, this program doesn't work. I'm out of here. You'll never see me again. Because I had one compulsive bite.
Black and white, all or none. Who can relate to that? Yeah. The disease tells us all those things, for sure. So, one of the things I made note of as categories for that are just a whole bunch of range of rotten feelings that we have afterwards. All the times we say, I'm never going to do that again. I know for myself, I literally have lactose intolerance, and I would eat something that gave me such physical pain, it was ridiculous. And I'd be writhing in pain and saying, that's so insane, I'm never going to do that. And I didn't even wait till the pain was gone. I just let it subside. And then I'm ready to go back and get more. That is not healthy thinking, right? So getting all those rotten range of feelings that can happen, the need for more, we know this is a craving phenomenon, and it just gets more and more and more and more out of control. And I heard us all talk about our actions of isolating and becoming secretive and reinforcing that more and more. And all the range of health problems, you know, we certainly talked about the physical, but we can talk about the emotional range of problems that we get from our compulsive eating as well. Confused thinking, and also our spiritual losses, right? We stop losing our sense that we can ask for help. We can ask for spiritual help and spiritual assistance. So there's all those losses. So let's go to the last column. And that one are the drawbacks of eating in the See How way. And go ahead and write a couple of things in that column. All right, who would like to share something from the list with the group?
So the drawbacks of See How eating, there is a certain discomfort when I'm with normies. Normal people. I have learned my way around this. And when I'm traveling, you know, it posed a problem. And on special, when there were special occasions, and it's basically not fitting in. I like to fit in, but I had to learn how to be comfortable with not fitting in and provide myself, take care of myself. That's basically
so
it.
How long she's been in program?
In program since 1985. At the start.
Yeah. All right, who else would like to share?
Not getting to join in celebrations that people celebrate, birthdays or whatever, with food. And also having to put myself first, which is really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Say, these are my needs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who can relate with deprivation? That thought about, man, if I do this, I'm going to feel deprived. That was one of my big ones. I just said, yeah, just no way. 30 days. I'm going to give it 30 days because I cannot possibly live like this. Yes.
I'm very grateful that I can say what I'm saying right now. And that is, the drawbacks of CEA How Eating, I cannot think of one drawback, not one. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Thank God that's after a relapse and being in the well of hell for 2 years and I'm finally crawling back out. Thank you. I'm sorry, I'm T. Compulsive eater.
What a blessing. Who else would like to share what's on the list?
So on my list is when you're invited to a friend's house or a family's house and they've gotten some food specially for you, something as simple as salad dressing, and you grab the bottle and you read the label, and the first ingredient is corn syrup, and they don't get that, but it's fat-free. Yeah, but it's full of sugar. And the other thing is trying my best to say the right words to them so they're not offended that I'm not going to have their goodies. Yeah. I'm so full. Thank you so much. I couldn't have another bite. Or, do you know what sounds really good right now? Just a cup of hot tea. That just sounds so wonderful. Because then it complements the meal that you just had. And just working my hardest to find the right words to say so they're not offended. And that's a big thing in CEA How, a really big thing. And I'm really grateful through everybody's input that you hear those experiences and that strength and that hope to help you get through all those times. And sometimes you just don't realize that as much as people want to understand you because they love you, they don't understand you. And they love you very much. And you just can't expect them to know your program ever. You just have to know your own program and your own limitations and be kind to everybody.
Who can relate to that idea of food is love? And when you're turning down food that somebody's offering you, you're turning down their love. Right? So that's one of those, to be able to turn down, to be able to shift that idea that there's so much love and it doesn't have to be food. Yes, who else had a hand up? Mike.
Hi, Carletta. My name is Michael, definitely compulsive eater. And this is so strange because first looking at the question, I'm thinking, well, I've been in since I'm a kid, 46 years. So I didn't really have, I didn't feel that desperate about giving up food. And then my friends made me think, I was so pissed off I couldn't drink. And I was so pissed off I couldn't use drugs. This was in the 60s and in the 70s. And then I realized that I think for me now, the drawback is I'm really afraid to be free, totally free. 12-step has given me my dreams already. I'm retired. And I'm young enough to make new dreams. And I realized in just sharing, I'm afraid of reaching my dreams. I'm really afraid of them. And so now I have to figure out, I was sharing, last year I started having a problem with my heart, which I had when I was young, and I put on 10 pounds from all these meds, and it's pissing me off. But instead of, and I should be, say, pissing me off instead of getting sad. So what I do, I don't get angry. I get hurt. And when I get hurt, I get depressed. And why me, why me, why me? So this just a two-minute conversation made a huge difference in how I perceive this question. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Does somebody else have a burning? Yeah.
Hi, I'm still Susie, compulsive eater. This is something you won't hear, but this is the truth. My daughter is very resentful. Well, now she's used to it, but when I bring my food and or I won't eat what she made or what she's serving, she said she's afraid that my grandchildren, her daughters, are going to catch what I have, my eating disorder, that it's going to rub off on them. They're going to say, what's the matter with the green, you know, and then for some reason, I know it sounds bizarre, but.
How many of us can relate to being criticized by others around us for the way we eat in one form or another? Yeah, absolutely. So, for that particular one, when I've done this workshop, what comes up are things, many of which I've heard here in the room, but one of them is it's work. We have to plan, we have to shop, sometimes we got to chop, we got to do all those things. It's work, and if we travel, there's even more work, there's research. How many stories have we heard that people have, we live our lives, right? We're not a glum lot. We go to weddings and receptions, but we may call the chef. We may call the back rooms. We may make calls. We may carry our backup foods. And it's work, right? That's one of the things that we accept in this way, is that it's work. Another one are boundaries. And so there's the basic boundaries about the food, because we weigh and measure, but there are boundaries around ego, too. And there are boundaries about getting right size with life and with higher power. And one of the biggest ones I hear all the time, especially with newcomers, is, I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I want to do what I want to do, right? We live by boundaries on many levels. And what I love about the sixth step is it says, that's human. That's real. Of course you're going to be pissed off about not getting to do everything you think you want to do. Because you don't have in your mind that everything you want to do is not necessarily going to serve you well, right? But it's that process of becoming convinced. So, and the other one is, it takes time to learn skills to live in a different way, right? So as we heard, I'm sorry, tell me your first name again.
Linda.
Linda say, people love us and they want to give us food. Because that's what love is a lot of the time. So there's a whole skill set around saying, thank you for the food. Oh my God, I feel so special. And I love you. And I'm not going to eat that. Right? All these skill sets. In many circles, food is love. Food is cultural. Food is celebration. Food is so many things. We know that. There's another skill set that Michael referred to, which, you know, Michael referred to a skill set that I'm going to explain right now. It's that idea, and we talk about it peeling back the layers, and the first layer we got to deal with is just not eating compulsively, just eating the food plan, no matter what the feelings come up around eating the food plan. That's the first layer we work on, eating from the food plan, no more, no less. But as we go through our spiritual development, we get to the deeper layers of what's underneath it. We get to the deeper layers of what's holding us back. We get to the deeper layers of why maybe we complained about other people and what they were accomplishing because maybe we were a little bit too afraid to try ourselves. We get to all those deeper layers about what might have separated us from our higher power. All those skill sets that we develop, including the skill set to sit in the moment, no matter what the feelings are, and not escape by eating, right? All the different times that it happens. So we get to look at all those things and get all those pieces of acceptance to help us grow. And the biggest acceptance, our program tells us, is accepting life on life's terms, accepting reality. And that means I have to get out of my fantasies. I love my fantasies. I don't want to give them up, right? And sometimes they're dreams, and I put in the work and the effort to manifest it. But sometimes they're just pure fantasies, and I want to indulge because I have a disease that tells me indulging is a good thing, and I don't feel deprived when I'm indulging myself, and instead I get to learn. That was one of my biggest ones, is that I was going to feel deprived. And I am blessed to be able to say today, like T did, not only do I not feel deprived, but I feel really special. I feel really special that I don't have to hurt myself today, because I had to hurt myself. People pleasing, places and things, I had to hurt myself to do that. And then I was mad about it or sad about it, and I ate about it. But today, I don't have to hurt myself like that. Here's the bar. Am I there where I hit that bar every time? Of course not. But I have a program that tells me if I don't hit the bar, there's a lot of wonderful things to do. If I hurt other people's feelings, I can make amends. If I hurt myself, I can make amends, right? But I don't have to be on that compulsive track of hurting myself to please people, hurting myself because I'm too afraid. I get to be on the track, little by little, of trusting a higher power is going to protect me. Food's not going to protect me. A higher power is going to protect me. My security is going to come from a higher power. Little by little, I grow to that. And those are the skills that's going to take me away. Now, if you look at your paper in the four squares, the first one at the very top and the last one at the very bottom, those are the two that are really going to set us up to break our abstinence, aren't they? Because we have a program that tells us, no matter all these things we know that are the benefits, there are going to come times when we're not going to be able to recall those benefits, right? They are not going to come to mind. Those other two boxes are the ones that are going to come to mind and be loud. They're powerful drivers. And so that is the beauty of being in a program where we get so supported, like I already said, so that those drives can be present and we can get support in a different way until we build that track record of living without eating compulsively, until we build that track record of being comfortable saying to the people we love, I love you, and I really appreciate that, and I can't eat that because it hurts me, and I don't want to hurt you, but I would love me too. Yeah, we get to be both and we learn those skills by being present. A lot of times for me, I know that I didn't have skills, like I'm not good at dancing. A lot of people in my circles are great dancers, right? Well, I was so embarrassed about looking awkward dancing that I didn't do it. Well, that's the exact opposite, right? I'm not gonna learn any skill sets if I bow out. But as a compulsive eater, I did a lot of bowing out instead of being present and going through that little bit of discomfort so that I get the long-term big payoff. So the benefits and the payoffs, those are short-term goals, right? They're short-term solutions. We get short-term benefits. And the other ones, the benefits of eating in the See How way and learning to integrate the whole 12-step program is we get long-term solutions for life that our program calls character development. And that we get, instead of just relying on material successes and gains, we get to have lots of joy and happiness. We're not a glum lot, but we get to have that extra special benefit of having spiritual development, so that not just coming to a conference like a convention like this, where we hear these wonderful, inspiring stories that take us for however long that they take us, but we build our own track record. We have our own proof. It's in here for ourselves so that we know it works. And when we get into difficult situations, we may not know the answer or anything else, but we have our track record and we trust it, and we can take a deep breath, push that pause button, and say, higher power, I know you're going to come through for me. I just got to hang here for a little while and see what you got up your sleeves, because right now I got nothing up mine. But it's that way we learn to trust higher power like that. So we still have a little time, and since this is a six-step workshop, I thought if anybody wanted to share what it was like for you to get entirely ready to not eat compulsively, if you wanted to share that, we totally have some time for that. Anybody want to share?
I'll share real quick. I'm not a compulsive eater. when I look at these defects of character, I get real judgmental, like, oh, you dirty dog, you do such and such, you did such and such and such and such. So every time I work on character defects, I really have to go into my character assets too. That I am honest, open-minded, and willing to change. And I have character assets, you know. What is it? God made me and God didn't make junk, you know. And that's been really important so that I can make gradual recovery in my life. Thanks.
That's beautiful. We get to live our assets more as we grow in our program. Absolutely. Who else would like to share something about their journey of becoming entirely ready?
Actually, I just had a suggestion for people talking about what to say to people who want to feed them. After I was in program for over 10 years, I developed a medical problem, which meant that I had to change my eating even more. And so I would tell people I can't eat that I have a medical problem. Well, people were much more willing to listen to that. And so then when it was sugar, I just said, oh, I can't eat that, I have a medical problem. And it was much easier.
Thank you. It reminds me of my sponsor who says, I have an allergy. And then people say, oh, really? What's your allergy? She says, oh, I break out in fat. Who else would like to share their six-step story of that process of becoming ready?
My name's Nance. I'm a compulsive eater. That can't keep her mouth shut sometimes. My sponsor says, I don't do drugs. And that is a huge step, you know, as far as sugar and flour being a drug. Thanks.
Anybody else? Yes.
Pamela, compulsive eater. The process for me was first to even be able to name my defects. When I came into recovery, I did not have names for them. And I remember going to a six, seven-step workshop early on, and there was a handout of two columns of character defects. And when I was working on my six-step naming my character defects, I actually had to look at that handout, that sheet, to find the words that describe my character defects. So that was part of my process, being able to even name them. I had to name them before I could become entirely willing to have God remove them.
Great. Yes?
Thanks. Renee, recovering compulsive eater. And, you know, I think for me, first of all, thanks so much for the topic and your sharing on the topic. You know, for me, it was, you know, the majority of those defects had become too painful. And it was, you know, and sometimes the pain, emotionally, spiritually, physically, was debilitating. It really prevented me from living life to the fullest extent, from allowing myself to not only be present, but, you know, to experience those happy, joyful, gleeful moments, you know, because I was just so bogged down in those defects. You know, I was just so consumed with those defects. So, you know, for me, that was part of, I guess, the rebirth and, you know, uncovering, discovering, and discarding, or the preparation for that. Just being sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Thank you for that reminder. It reminds me of our literature. Pain is the touchstone of spiritual growth. Well, on that note, I just want to come back again to say how grateful I am to be in CHOW. I really feel very, very blessed. The idea of spiritual growth as a solution to what I thought just needed a little tweaking never occurred to me until I got here. And it has changed everything in my life, of course. And I'm really grateful and blessed. And thank you all for letting me spend some time with you in this way. Thank you.